Thank you for joining me for another Quick Hits Conversation. I'm Dr. Robin. With me today, I have Simon Coles and James Blair. And I would like to talk about, is the 9-to-5 dead? And if so, what's replacing it?
I reflect that the 9-to-5 has never existed for a large segment of the population and is also an aberration of modern office work, which is comparatively new in the great scheme of human history, as it were. I think it's probably dead for a greater segment of the population, and long may it stay dead. I think it causes utter misery and is a reflection of outdated management practices. So yeah, it's dead.
That's James, your answer. What do you think?
Well, first off, just wow, that was really strong right out of the gate from Simon there, wasn't it? I was going to reflect a little bit on some of the things that Simon brought up. I really liked some of those points. For instance, where he pointed out that 9-to-5 and the office-based work, actually, one is quite new, but only exists, for instance, within one strata of society. Mm-hmm. Below that, as industrialized nations have moved towards like mass production lines and the like, actually for people a little bit lower in socioeconomic groups, you could be working any time of day for any number of hours. And in some industries that are very much tied to 9-to-5, outside of the office, if you look at something like high street retail, for years everybody's been saying, oh, we need to save the high street. We need to save the high street. Well, why are they only open when everybody's at work in the office? What is that about? There's those ideas for outdated management practices and doing things a certain way because they've always been done that way seems to be leading a lot of businesses down a very dark path. Now, if you're connected globally, people are getting up at all hours of the day. You're having to connect with people on other continents. They're not going to be, I mean, their daylight hours are very different to yours, let alone their business hours. So if you're going to be flexible and if you're going to be competitive, I would say a business needs to be sensitive to those things and a little bit agile.
Even when there was a 9-to-5, even when we all commuted into the office and, you know, creating all sorts of environmental damage and lost time in commuting, it wasn't 9-to-5. There was an expectation of 8:30 to 5:30 or 6 o'clock and the more senior you got, the, you know, so I don't know if it ever, maybe it existed in the 1950s or something. I don't know.
Well, so today, all of us that are the office workers, whatever that means, we're scheduling calls from home. Are we scheduling calls in some kind of window, or is it like, oh, like to your point, James, I have to have a call with Singapore, so I have to be up at like, oh, dark 30, or, you know, is that now a thing? So then is the 40-hour work week dead as well?
Well, it's interesting with the time zones. I don't really have a problem with shifting my, as long as my work gets complete, neither me nor my employers are particularly fussed about when. What is nice is when people in those other time zones are considerate. So I will receive a message, oh, I'm really sorry, I'm only available at this time. I know that's early for you. Can you do it? And as long as that kind of consideration is being shown, I don't mind reshuffling everything. I'm working different hours. I would feel differently if somebody in another time zone tried to impose hours upon me. But otherwise, like, I'm very happy to roll with the punches.
One of the things, you know, we talk about 9-to-5, but 9-to-5 is also massively discriminatory against people with childcare responsibilities, for example, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that flexibility, especially, you know, we work with most of our customers are in different time zones for us. And that ability to flex is allowing people to have a more fulfilling job than they would do normally. And I think it's one of those, you know, just you're saying, you know, why are the shops only open when we're all at work? It's like mixing it up is, I think, generating more opportunities. I think the problem is because there's no sort of contract about 9-to-5 and an expectation, it means you've got to have more reasonable or more thoughtful conversations with whoever you're meeting with or whoever's managing you about the hours you do work and your availability. And I think the evidence is so far that we're not very good at that generally.
No. I would say that with people working from home and scheduling hours at all hours of the day, they're working more, not less.
I think there's a psychological overlap there, a kind of form of managerial presence. It's bi-directional between workers and their managers. I would say the resistance to becoming more flexible, as Simon was saying, like if you become more agile and flexible in terms of hours and allowing your staff to come and go as suits their own commitments, you're going to get more out of them. And I was thinking, well, what's stopping that from being the case? And I would guess leadership. They would want to be over people's shoulders, making sure, I was going to say things are getting done, but actually that's not correct, because the product, the outputs are self-evident. So in fact, if the outputs are there, you don't need to stand over someone's shoulder, like counting keystrokes per minute or something like that. But now that we're not all necessarily sat in an office with someone over our shoulders, I think perhaps people feel they're so used to that relationship that they try to live up to the same expectations. And they perhaps are scheduling these calls at all hours rather than resting and recovering, because they feel the need to prove that they're being productive for some all-seeing manager that isn't suddenly in the room with them anymore.
It does come down to, we need a one level better management, but we also need a better social contract. And so, for example, Robin, you're in the US, but in the UK, we have quite strong labor laws. Mm-hmm. And that those labor laws implicitly create an almost adversarial relationship between the employer and the employee. Mm-hmm. And you go to some of the European countries, I think I remember France or somewhere like that, they're starting to say, oh, you know, you shouldn't be sending email outside of office hours and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And one level, I can understand where the motivation for that sort of thing comes from, because you're trying to protect people in bad relationships. But I'm not sure doing time-based rules helps. I think the problem is fixing the relationship. But that's a big lift. And it's much easier to pass a law.
You know? I have a client who has an employer who turns off their email server outside of office hours and just doesn't allow emails at all. And of course, my question to that is then, is that keeping people from working, or is that just causing a flood of emails when you open the server back up? And does that defeat the purpose? Because then now my email box is full at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Monday, where it would have been trickling in.
And it doesn't help, because like I've got one colleague who said, I want to go to the gym. I'm not currently, now the clocks have changed. I used to go to the gym early in the morning. It's really depressing and I'm not going now. So please, can I start work at 7 and I'll go to the gym in the middle of the day? And the answer is, of course. But, you know, externally imposed rules about the working relationship would prevent that. And that would be a great pity. And the same goes for childcare and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's like those rules, you sort of hear them. And because you're so used to a certain like working paradigm, you think, oh, that's nice that they're looking out for people. But what that rule in fact does is impose rigidity on people's working lives rather than allowing the flexibility, when really the issue is the dialogue between workers and their leaders. And developing that sort of flexible relationship where people can manage upwards is a term I've read, manage upwards, as your colleague did, and say, oh, I've got this going on, so I'm going to work these hours instead. And the manager going, absolutely, if the work gets done, I'm not fussed.
I'll probably get better work done, because he's working at his best. I mean, you know, we employ programmers. You do not want a programmer in a bad state. It's like, keep them away from the code, because you'll be fixing those bugs for the rest of time, you know?
True that. Well, thank you for having this conversation with me. That is our 10 minutes, so I'm going to cut us off there. I appreciate it. I had wondered about the 9 to 5, and now I'm pretty certain it's dead or should be. So thanks for having it, and I'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.